You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology with your hosts, Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to this episode of the Shared Security Show, and joining me this week is Andra Zaharia, host of the Cyber Empathy Podcast. Welcome to the show, Andra.
So super excited to talk to you today, Tom.
I am excited to talk to you as well. And first of all, I love your podcast. I started binging the episodes of the Cyber Empathy Podcast, and I recommend this podcast to everybody in cybersecurity. They need to give it a listen. So just great job on the podcast from one podcaster to another.
Thank you. That really means a lot. And I'm really glad to see it bring positive reactions and positive feelings to the surface, because I really believe that we need a lot more of that if we're to cope with everything that's going on in our lives, generally
speaking. I know. There's like nothing going on, right? In the world or in our careers or anything like that. But yeah. And I think that's why we really need to emphasize the topic of empathy. We need to hear more about it. And not just because I think we all can learn how to be more empathetic personally, maybe in our personal relationships, but also our professional relationships as well. So I'm really excited to talk to you about this topic today, because I know you are also very passionate about empathy.
Thank you. Yes, I am. And it has become a bit of something of my main contribution to the industry. I found after 8+ years of working in this space, I realized that this is what I want to contribute to this industry. And I'm thrilled that I've been able to find something that aligns with what I do and how I do it, and that it's kind of plugged into this movement across the industry that's slowly emerging into mainstream, which is powered by kind, generous people who are teaching others to do the same and to be kind and open and supportive of others as well. It's what's brought me into this industry. It is what I love the most about the space. And I'm really glad to see it kind of becoming part of the constant conversation and earning its place along conversations about technology and business growth and other things that are kind of the run-of-the-mill topics.
So maybe first, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and maybe your background.
Yes. So I majored in communication and public relations, and my career in digital marketing, because it was called digital marketing when I started, and now it's just called marketing, was actually a personal blog that I set up in 2008. And that's kind of how I got started, blogs and then the online local community. And after that, I just started working with tech companies and tech startups. And I did that for half of my career. And the other half, I've been spending in cybersecurity, simply because at some point while working with startups, someone recruited me for a cybersecurity company. And it was just love at first sight. I specialize in content. I've always specialized in content and organic growth. That's what I do. I love building communities. I love supporting companies and entrepreneurs to stand out in the space, simply because they do a good job at building teams, at building products, at creating technology that actually works. So that's something that I'm very, very passionate about. And being able to do it in cybersecurity, that is so challenging, so complex, and I feel that it is also such a huge contributor to personal growth and emotional maturity, is just a privilege. So in a nutshell, that's kind of my background. The moment I started in the space, I realized that I want to have continuity and just make sure that I truly immerse myself in the space. And I absolutely love it. It challenges me every day. And most of all, I'm here for the people.
Absolutely. I think that's a big reason why we're all in this career field, is the people, the technology and the really cool, challenging work, right? That's definitely an aspect, but I completely agree with you. It comes down at the end of the day to the people and the people that we work with, the people that we interact with. So how does empathy relate to cybersecurity in our industry?
This is something that I saw people react to in various ways. When I mentioned empathy generally, first I got some suspicious looks, but I also got a lot of raised eyebrows in the sense that, tell me more about that. These two things seem like they're in contrast with one another. So what do you mean? And this is one of the, let's say, problems that the cybersecurity industry faces as a whole, which is the perception of it being something extremely abstract, very emotionally removed from people's lives, something that people have no attachment to, they have no contact with, and something that is, again, purely driven by technology and not at all for people or by people, which is not true. Industry insiders know this, but we don't really reflect that on the outside. So because I was always so passionate about the people in this industry, and every time that I talked to my friends or, you know, people who had no relation to cybersecurity, I would always talk to them and tell them about the awesome specialists and how driven they are, how passionate, how generous, and they would always be surprised. So I thought, okay, this is something that's worth emphasizing. This is something that's worth bringing to the surface. The positive behaviors, the leadership, the kindness, the support, the going the extra mile, the Twitter DMs that, you know, of people who check in on you when they know you're going through something tough. All of these aspects, all of these manifestations of empathy are not really visible, but they are essential to driving the industry, to building healthy, strong, sustainable companies, and to serving customers in a way that they truly need. And that's very plugged into the reality of things, not just something that we're making up. So I saw an opportunity there to highlight these stories, to highlight these examples, and to bring them again in conversation and to help people see cybersecurity from a positive angle, to help people see the people behind the screen who are taking care of them and who give it their all and their best to make sure that they stay safe, to make sure that things get easier for them and not more complicated, and just simply kind of reconnect people with what they love doing, with the people that they serve, and even the community itself, because it obviously, being such a huge space, there are different opinions and different perspectives. So I think that empathy is a main driver in moving the industry forward in a way that's ethical, in a way that's morally sound, and in a way that actually helps society as it becomes digitized and offers kind of support in terms of just digital literacy and privacy literacy and understanding our rights as citizens and as, well, netizens, which is such an okay term.
Yes.
Nowadays.
Yes. Yeah. Great points. And I think that, you know, you'll probably agree there's a lot of negativity in our industry as well in terms of the problems that we have to solve. We talk about data breaches all the time, exploits and vulnerabilities, and these are, you know, inherently negative things. And so I think a lot of times people working in this industry just kind of immerse themselves into this world where, you know, there's just a lot of negative things. So what are some things that we all could do to be more empathetic, specifically in our roles as cybersecurity professionals?
There are so many things that we can do, and they're not always spectacular, and that not the sexiest things in our day-to-day work. And I think that that's one of the reasons why they get overlooked sometimes, simply because, again, we're just in this hamster wheel of emotions and reactions, and also driven by good things such as our need to grow, our desire to learn, and to balance all of these things and tap into all the opportunities that we have, that it's easy to, again, to forget this. And I think that, first of all, one of the key things in empathy is awareness, is just giving ourselves pause to understand and to listen to the other person, to really listen without an agenda, to listen without judgment. And this is one of the hardest things to do, honestly. And it's harder when you have to listen to people who are closest to you, because that's when you're the most emotionally reactive, honestly speaking. So listening to understand, listening with curiosity and without an agenda, and as little to no judgment as possible, that's one of the key things that we can do. And what I mean by this is even doing this in meetings, over the phone, in a call, when you meet, you know, colleagues in the hallway, whatever it is, every opportunity where someone wants to tell you something, give them that space. That is one of the key things. You want people, you want to do for people what you what you wish people did for you. And that's a cliche, but it really works. Because maybe sometimes you were trying to speak your mind in a meeting and someone just started talking over you and interrupted you. You didn't have time to just share everything that was on your mind. So that just stayed with you. And perhaps it would have been really valuable. So supporting and creating that space for someone else is a really generous thing to do. The other thing is also trying to just acknowledge and work on our biases. We have a huge familiarity bias because we're so used to information in this industry, all of the names, all of the acronyms. They're completely foreign territory for most people, even though we think we're phrasing them more simply, but it's not true. Again, multi-factor authentication, one of the easiest examples, and there are so many other things that we're trying to explain to people, and they just look at us with empty eyes because their minds are focused on something else. So being mindful of the way that, of how we speak to people, choosing our words in a way that makes it resonate for them, asking them to show us how they use technology, so we can guide them and let them guide the way and not feel like we're imposing something on them, like we're telling them what to do, like we're making choices on their behalf. These are empathetic things. They're small things that we can do. They're not necessarily very scalable, but their effect is, in the sense that we probably have, I hope all of us have someone in our lives who at some point shows us a lot of compassion and empathy and support, and it's made a huge difference in our lives. And they've given us an example of how to do this with others. I think that this is what we would like to do. This is how you scale empathy. This is how you make it viable, by showing others what it looks like and especially what it feels like, because we're still driven by emotions, even though most people want to believe about themselves that that's not the case. But well, that's just how it is.
It is. Yeah. We're all emotional beings, right? And we often like to forget that and don't think about our own emotions and that self-awareness, like you had mentioned. Yeah. And I think so much these days, as we're talking to other people in our industry, you know, we get on our soapbox, right? And oh yeah, everybody in the industry knows what two-factor authentication is. And so then you get in this habit of, when I'm talking to, you know, my friends and family as an example, and I'm like, well, you guys are using two-factor authentication, right? And they're like, what? Like, what is that? Like, can you explain what that is? And then you quickly realize, like, oh, wait a minute, they're not in my industry. I need to, first of all, listen to them, like you said, and listen to what they have to say. And if they're asking you questions, rephrase those answers so that they can understand and not be so technical all the time.
Using analogies, using real life examples, something that's palpable, that really helps. We're still, biologically speaking, us humans, we are not as evolved as we think we are. We haven't evolved for the requirements, let's say, of our society. And it's difficult for us to picture really abstract things. I mean, even people in the industry have difficulty like visualizing things. That's why we use technology to help us visualize things, to help us see exactly how things are connected and work together. How can we ask this of someone who doesn't have the basic concepts of what we're trying to explain?
Right.
So analogies, real life stuff, that helps, that makes it familiar, and that makes it approachable and gives them the sensation, the knowledge that, hey, I can do this. It's not impossible.
Employee awareness of cybersecurity threats is critical to your organization, but most employees are bored by traditional security awareness training. The vast majority of employees are much more engaged when training is gamified. ClickArmor is the first fully gamified security awareness platform that reduces employee vulnerability by 60%. These days, we can't avoid cyber threats. They're everywhere, and everyone is a target. Employees really need to get better at avoiding cyber threats, like phishing and social engineering. Most security awareness training solutions aren't effective enough to really change behavior. ClickArmor uses a very different approach that employees love. We use proven gamification techniques with psychological drivers that keep employees motivated to learn and improve their skills. Rather than using controversial live phishing tests that anger many employees and provide unreliable metrics, ClickArmor's unique learning challenges help employees learn about cybersecurity in a fun, stress-free way that builds up their confidence. And our engaging simulated threat scenarios motivate employees to improve their skills in a safe and fun environment. Gamified simulators can also extend far beyond phishing scenarios to practice facing dangerous social engineering scams. Our weekly 3-minute challenges provide continuous reinforcement for employees. Motivating employees to participate willingly means higher assurance reporting for compliance and risk management. Simple integration with your employee directory means that deployment of ClickArmor is a snap, and single sign-on makes usage and ongoing management of ClickArmor easy. ClickArmor has been proven to provide better employee engagement, making IT managers' lives easier. If you're tired of ineffective awareness training that hurts your corporate culture, find out how to gamify your security awareness training experience to improve employee resilience with ClickArmor.
So kind of speaking on that, in the same topic of just thinking of security awareness and the trainings that we all try to talk to our users, right, in security that use our systems, the customers and things like that. What do you think of when you hear the phrase users are the weakest link in security? Because that doesn't sound very empathetic to me,
but
we use that all the time.
Yep. It is one of the most used cliches and stereotypes in the industry, unfortunately, which makes my eyes roll so hard, but that doesn't help anyone. So I try to be helpful by giving people options to rephrase things and to just give alternatives. I think that framing, again, this is victim blaming, honestly, the whole people is the weakest link thing. It's a lazy way to describe a very complex and nuanced situation in which human error, let's say, is absolutely natural, unavoidable, and is not the full responsibility of that person. And even, for example, the recent case of the Reddit hack, the Reddit data breach, they did their communication was really good, except that they use this phrase, which kind of put a damper on the whole thing. I mean, the entire communication was really good. They actually commanded the person who reported the breach. They handled things well. They did an AMA. Everything was great up until they mentioned that. And I see examples in the industry, very few, that are trying to change this. But I still think that we have a long way to go, simply because we've become used to using certain phrases and repeating them over and over, and they've just become second nature. So again, people use them kind of in an automatic fashion without, stopping and gaining that awareness of, is this what I want to actually say? And it also, the thing that I hate the most about this term is that it creates such a rift between people in the industry and the people that they're serving. It puts people in the industry or technical specialists on a pedestal, and it really downgrades the capabilities of your, of users, which again is a term that's really dehumanizing. This is also dehumanizing. It's not kind, and you're never going to get someone to listen if you first berate them. They're not going to, enthusiastically listen to what you have to say next. So instead of this, we can acknowledge that humans are the most targeted part of our organization, which is entirely true. We can see this in statistics and tactics and everything else, and attacks and so on. We can understand that they're the most vulnerable, but not through their fault. It's simply because we live in a complex and work in a complex environment. Technologies only work so far. Training only goes so far. Human nature is only capable of so much. So our goal is to actually, you know, make sure that people are not as they're not overworked, they're not tired, they're not as stressed, so they can actually have more awareness about what's going on around them, and also be able to trust the security team, be able to trust them so they can come forward with the errors that they think they've made, with the things that happen, without shame and without fearing that they're going to get, you know, fired or reprimanded or publicly shamed, which is one of the worst things ever. And there's actually a good example of doing this the right way. I think that a couple of weeks ago, Coinbase announced that they had a tiny breach. And again, someone from the team reported it. And they actually, so this was a positive case study of this happened to us, but we're grateful for the person on the team who reported this because we were able to take care of it. And that example is something that I'm going to reference a lot and show others, because those positive examples of, yes, it happened, but we take care of our people, we believe in them, we empower them, and this is how we move forward and actually improve security across the board generally.
Yeah, that's a great example. I love how you mentioned empowerment, and that's how I kind of view this new way of doing security awareness training. It's about empowering your user base or your customers or your employees versus, like you said, berating them. And just the, in that phrase, weakest link, right? If you're saying that the users are weak, that's not empathetic. And that can have, in fact, the opposite reaction when employees hear that. So those are great points. So maybe flipping over to the technology side, we talk a lot about people, obviously, but when we're thinking about security products and new technology like AI and ChatGPT, and you know, we could have the debate of AI is going to take everything over, but the reality is it's here. People are using it. So, you know, how do we think about technology and things like ChatGPT when it comes to empathy?
I think that one of the key things that these kind of technologies kind of obliterate is our possibility to see like the long-term implications of technology. And if you're not a technologist, if you don't love the space and have been following it and connected to social issues and anthropology, sociology, psychology, etc., you're not going to be able to see these implications and to follow kind of the entire train of consequences and results, because it's not all bad. And having these interfaces come up and become so usable is a risk, because like we've seen, these technologies can be misleading, they can feed false information, they can reinforce people's biases, which already half, well, not half of the internet, but probably more is already doing. So there's a big risk there. And again, an opportunity that I see to use empathy here is to, again, educate people into, well, try to get them to use what they already have, their existing skills, their critical thinking. Like they already know to take care of their things when they go on the street. When they travel, they know to take care of their money and ID. They already have some, let's say, risk modeling capabilities that keep them safe in other situations. But when you put them in this context where AI-driven tools, algorithms are all around them, they haven't migrated those capabilities into the digital space. So I think that empowering them, just like you said, is much easier when we tell them, like, you already have these skills. You just have to adapt them and see how you can use them in this new environment. Because again, having that awareness of why am I using this tool? Is it good for me? Is it good for my children to use it? Is it helping me find what I need? Or is it trying to manipulate me? These are questions that aren't necessarily embedded in our thinking process, generally speaking. So what we can do is try to bring on that conversation, because that moment of awareness can really change things. And again, I think the power of example is so important. I have learned a lot in cybersecurity across all of, let's say, areas of expertise from people who are having conversations in public and sharing what they're going through, their emotions, their experiences, wins, losses, and so on. And this is really powerful. And I actually have a non-related example that I think is really good. There's a show that's called This Is Us. I know that most people know it because it's such a huge hit. And I've only recently started watching it, which it's such a miss on my part. And I love the types of conversations that people have. A lot of people have resonated and have found that show so inspiring and moving and touching because they've never seen conversations like these. They've never seen people use words in a way that gets people through difficult conversation, really difficult life experiences. And I think that that's something that's still missing in the cybersecurity industry, unless you know where to look for it or which people to follow. These conversations, we need to bring them in public and to also support journalists and content creators and people with large communities to really just phrase things correctly, introduce nuance, introduce clarity, and just start educating people on how they can be kinder to themselves, including through how they use technology. And I know that's not an easy answer. I don't think there's an easy solution to this, but I do believe that we can make a difference, even if it's just one person at a time. That still counts.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yeah, that's kind of the mantra of all of us content creators, right? If we could just impact one person, that's really the start of doing bigger and greater things. So where can our listeners find out more about you and your podcast?
So it's cyberempathy.org, because that was the domain that I could find, because the .com was already taken. And that's where the podcast lives, but it also has links to my website and other things that I do. It also has a tiny manifesto, which I wrote when I started a podcast, because I really believe in putting out there or just making things public in the way of why we do things, showing our motivation, explaining to people why we're here, what they can expect us to contribute, and how they can expect us to show up. And that's kind of where you can find me. Plus, you can find me on LinkedIn and Mastodon. I've kind of left Twitter almost entirely.
We all have.
Unfortunately, that was really a sad thing for me. But I believe that we can find each other when we need each other.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Andra. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. And of course, we will have all of those links in our show notes. And again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Tom. It was really the privilege and the pleasure to talk with someone who cares so deeply about this topic as well. And also the fact that you keep bringing up the shared security concept, that's something that we built together. I think that that's really powerful, a powerful and definitely a wonderful example of empathy as well.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That means a lot to me. Much appreciated. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app, or leave us a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the show, visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter at SharedSec, and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.